Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and it's Yvette Jordan again at the Gist of Freedom show. We have with us a PR guru, and that is Karen Taylor Bass. Karen, are you there with us?
Hello, hello, I'm here. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, and welcome this evening.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to this.
Wonderful. As you can hear, we started our show with the Jill Scott and her music, and I know you've worked with Jill, and I was just wondering if you would share some information about that, and also, of course, how you got involved in this business.
Sure. Well, good evening, everyone. You know, Jill is one of my clients was for 7 years, and I loved every moment of it. It was a challenging experience in the sense in the beginning, just creating the buzz and having people get on board, the media I'm talking about, not us. We always knew she was amazing. And I have to say that she's, whatever you see is really who she is. You know, Jill is thankfully counted, blessedly, is still one of my friends today. And I decided 7 years ago, around 3 years ago, that I wanted to just be a mom and, you know, take care of my family and have children and reinvent. And henceforth, she was one of those sisters who were like, go ahead and do your thing. I got this, you know. So how did this whole PR game, I think that was the initial question.
Right.
Started the fundraiser, had a passion for it, had a passion for getting the message out, writing campaigns, didn't really know what that meant until a friend of mine told me that I'd probably be good as a publicist, and I set out to research, did my homework, did internship, resigned from my job as a fundraiser for United Way, and set out to just intern at the beautiful prime age of 27, and that was my second career, from fundraising to be to public relations. And I worked at various labels, Sony, EMI, Time, Elektra, a lot of labels that are no longer around, but from there, springboard to starting my own business. And Jill was my first client when I started my company in 2000.
Well, that's a great client you started out with. Are you also from Philly?
People think so. I'm actually from Kingston, Jamaica. That's where I was born. I live in New York, but I consider Philly my second home. I'm there constantly.
Okay. And you mentioned you have a business, and I know you have a website as well. What is your website?
Oh, I have several. I have TaylorMadeMediaPR.com. I have KarenTaylorBass.com. And we're launching a new product next week, Monday. And the website for that, the URL, is TheBrandNewMommy.com.
TheBrandNewMommy.com?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. What is that about? Would you share some of that information with us?
Absolutely.
New Mommy, what's that?
The Brand New Mommy is playing up the word brand. You know, as a PR strategist for a very long time, over 20 years, I'm all about branding and understanding the importance of branding, what it is, which is a consistent experience. But what I found is, being a mom of two, that as sometimes as women, as mothers, we forget ourselves. We forget that we are a brand, that how we feel and what we deliver to the world is, you know, what we're giving off. And so we always have to consider ourselves that we are that brand. We are that Coca-Cola. We are that McDonald's. So the Brand New Mommy is really the ultimate destination for savvy black women renewing and redefining their personal brand post-childbirth. So basically,
Wow. Getting
your mojo back after having children.
Okay, well, that sounds like a plan. Let me ask you this. A lot of young people or older people who are switching careers are saying, how do I get involved in entertainment and have a lot of interest in that? What advice would you give somebody who has that as a goal?
I would always say do your research. You know, do your research. Do your research is the most important thing. Talk to people. Find out what they're doing, why they like it, why they dislike it. A lot of times we give the good side of something, but there's so many, you know, negatives that help us make a informed decision. It's never too late to do things. It's never too late to do an internship. It's never too late to be the person you want to be. So just do it. I also have my 3-year-old with me. I'm so sorry, distracted.
Oh, no problem.
So, mommy at work. So, you know, you want to make sure you talk to people. To do that internship, you know, volunteer. I know money is a premium for everyone given the economic landscape, but volunteer your time. If it's 2 hours, 1 hour, opportunities are got when you volunteer and you put yourself out there. Take a chance, do something different. And, you know, those who show up, go up. So
right.
I'm all about showing up, you know, try something out, but volunteer. Sometimes the thing you think you want is really not that, it's something else, but you only know that by being there, being in the position, being in the moment and volunteering. And that's what I did when I was trying to, you know, get into the game, get into the industry from fundraising. I volunteered my time and I watched. You know, I'm a big, big thing about watching people, listening, you know, not doing so much talking as I'm doing now, but really listening to what people are saying. Because sometimes if you just listen, all your information is there. And in a digital world, you know, with social media, I tell people, follow the people that are doing it. You know, follow their tweets, you know, follow them on Facebook, find out what it is, because this game, it really is that, but it takes a lot of persistence and you know, research and blessings and timing is everything.
Right.
So follow
exactly.
Those who are doing it, and you can do it. It may take, nothing happens overnight. Don't let people lie to you. You know, some things that look like it happened overnight took 10 years in the making. You just have to be committed to the goal.
Okay. I know you're also a motivational speaker. I saw that, I think, as I was viewing one of your websites, and I can see why.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Also, I wanted to ask you about one of your books. I know you're also an author, and that is You Want Caviar.
Oh, yeah. But Have Money.
But Have Money. I'm sorry?
You want caviar, but you have money for chitlins, a smart
right.
PR guide for those on a budget? Sure.
What is the caviar?
Caviar is anything that you desire that you don't currently have, an opportunity, a home, a job, a passion, a career, whatever it is that you don't have currently within your means, that's caviar. Chitlins is your means to getting it, and understanding that everything has a beginning. So you have to understand what the fundamentals are, and that's your chitlins. It's just like slavery, when slaves would take chitlins and use it for sustenance, add their own spice to it because it was scrap.
Right.
A lot of times you take scrap and you build on that scrap, and that becomes your caviar.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes really perfect sense, and I'm a teacher, and I'm going to use that. I'm going to buy your book, and I'm going to use that in the classroom, because you are so right. And as a history teacher, I'm especially using that analogy of how we as a people have used scraps and used that, as you said, sustenance, and then moved on, and we keep it moving until we succeed in something, I think is great. So you're dead on with that. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Thank you. You know, and I think what you just said is important. Like, we have to keep it moving. A lot of times when I do my presentation, a lot of people get caught up, and sometimes I'm guilty of that. You get caught up in the here and the now and what you want and what you perceive and what you don't have. But you know, I always tell people, and I always tell myself that, you know, God does not make mistakes. Everything happens in, you know, ordained fashion, in divine fashion. And if you are starting from a point of not having what you want or whatever that is, but you want to get to the next level, if you just look at history and just look at successful people, it took them a while. By the time everybody finds out about who you are, you've been in the trenches forever. So by the time you see people, they're so tired because they know they've been doing it for so long. They're like, what took you so long? So, you know, that's what this whole caviar and chitlin moment, it's like, you know, having a bare budget but, you know, living the life you want, golden, but understand on your terms in time.
Exactly. I want to ask you a little bit about the celebrities you've worked with in the past. We, of course, know Jill Scott. Would you mention some others and your experiences?
Sure. I mean, my initial claim to fame prior to Jill Scott was D'Angelo,
okay.
Michael Archer from Virginia. Unfortunately, he's known more for, you know, being arrested now.
Mommy.
Yes? You're hungry? Okay, sorry. So, you know, but D'Angelo is a talented musician. Brown Sugar, the first album, that was my foray into having a really huge mainstream project. So D'Angelo, NBA Chris Webber, Ray Allen, Mariah Carey, Sean Puffy Combs, you know, the list goes on and on. I can't even think about it. Coca-Cola, you know, from corporations to people. I've just been really blessed to work and interface with a lot of people. And I take all that experience to apply to my entrepreneurs, to my, you know, small business clients, or just to the folks that I work with. Because one of the things about celebrity, I love it. It's, you know, gratuitous. It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the high life. It's the, you know, the fast life. But they are so much work because they are so much work, and no one ever talks about that. They're dealing with so much stress and strife themselves, trying to maintain, stay on top of the game. So I give a lot of respect to celebrities because no one really understands what happens before that camera, you know, that photo shoot. It takes a lot of mental space to get into that zone when you don't want to.
Right.
And what I've learned from celebrities is that, you know, this is what they dedicated their lives to being and to doing. So, you know, you have to, it helps you recommit to whatever it is that you're doing because they're not overnight. You know, when I worked with Ray Allen, he came out the same year as Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson. And Kobe Bryant and Allen Iverson, they got all, like, you know, the press. Kobe for being amazing, Allen Iverson for being really talented but being a bad boy. And no one wanted to touch Ray Allen because, you know what, he didn't have a story. He was just, like, a good guy. And unfortunately, good guys are not really, you know, lauded in the press, but my campaign was good guys finish first. And
right.
As you see now, Allen Iverson is not playing
exactly.
in the NBA. Ray Allen is. He has
scoring
a championship
in Boston. Right.
Yeah, he's the Boston with the Boston Celtics. He just signed another contract in the free agency. And so, I try to tell people, students, everyone who's doing it, that good guys, good people really do finish. They do win. I know we don't see that in society, but one thing that Ray taught me and I observed firsthand was he was persistent. He was persistent in wearing people down, like letting them know, look, I'm here. If there was an interview and the other guys couldn't do it, he was always dependable and reliable. So he got a lot of opportunities simply from default because, all the other NBA players are busy trying to be bad guys. And he was just
right.
like, I'm here, I'm hungry. And so what I learned basically from working with him is that your time does come. You just have to be in the cut ready. Preparation is everything.
Wasn't Ray Allen also using Johnny Cochran as well as his attorney?
No.
Oh,
not that I know of. Not when I worked with Ray Allen. Ray Allen was one of the first NBA players to not have a sports agent. Back then everyone, or still David Falk, Michael Jordan's agent and so forth. But what
mm-hmm.
Ray Allen did was he said, I don't need this person to negotiate. I'm going to save my 15 to 20%, and I'm going to get a strategic lawyer. I don't think it was Johnny Cochran. I don't remember ever interfacing with Johnny Cochran, but I know that he took out the middleman, the sports agent, and he and his lawyer negotiated his contract. And up to this day, he still does that.
Okay.
And a lot
How did
of,
you?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I'm
How did you meet?
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, a lot of NBA players followed suit, and now you have, LeBron James. I mean, players are realizing that, if the owner or the agent is making, if they're making $100 million, well, and the player is over a period of time or $10 million, well, how much is the owner really getting? So now they're realizing, oh, my God, the owner's making more money than I am. I really am hired. How can I cut out someone so that I can make more and be more of my own brand?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it does, absolutely. What I was going to ask you about was, how did you actually meet all of these celebrities? Was it happenstance? Was it through a former client? Was it your reputation after you worked with Jill Scott, D'Angelo? How did it actually happen?
I wish I could say that it was so glamorous and that someone was like, here's a bone. It was hard work like everything else. I love basketball. I love sports. Ray Allen honestly was a person that I've really followed during University of Connecticut days. I went to a Big East school. UConn is a Big East school.
Mm-hmm.
And I followed him when it was the Milwaukee Bucks. And it was really, honestly, going to a Nets game, they played the Nets, the Bucks, and I strategically brought a photographer friend with me who wanted to get into the game, and I got to the game, and if you're in the cheap seats, the thing about basketball and the Nets, you're always able to get to the floor eventually.
Right.
In four
mm-hmm.
quarters. So I eventually got to the floor. I introduced myself to his mother. I had done my research that, Ray was looking for a person to handle him, be a publicist, but also break him out of this whole thing of him just, getting him in PR. He always wanted to be in The Source and so forth, and, when The Source was the magazine and Cutting and Hard and all that stuff. And so I met his mom, and players' moms rule. It's like anything else. You want something done, you talk to the moms. And that still holds true. And I talked to his mom. She introduced me. And, after that, I had a camera. My friend had a camera. He took a picture with Ray for The Source. I called my friend, who was the manager of The Source. I said, look, I got a photo of Ray. They won the game against the Nets. Can you run it? He happened to run it. And I got the call to go to Connecticut, Bristol, to the pitch. And that's how I got it. It's no amazing story. It's just hard work, and it's just being prepared and knowing what my client wanted, potential client. And I had the photographer. I was just ready to roll.
Yeah.
When you're an entrepreneur, you got to roll.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You were ready.
Preparation.
And prepared.
Mm-hmm.
How are you received at home now when you go back home? If
Where's
you
home?
Do.
Where's home? Which home? Jamaica? Where?
Yeah, Jamaica.
Like any other tourist, you know.
Okay.
What you got, what you buying, you know. No special treatment. Sometimes you get the special treatment, you know. Sometimes you're received. You know, I have to say, you know, folks do receive, but you never really, you don't have the time to really think about that or get caught up in it. It's really about empowering people. It's really about learning and growing. So when I go home, I go home, and I just chill out. So I'm not really trying to work.
Okay. Well, it seems like you're extremely humble as well.
I guess. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
This is such a bigger thing, bigger platform. I'm excited about the brand new mommy. I'm excited about it. So I don't really get caught up in that. There's no time to get caught up in stuff. You know, you see people get caught up, and you see what happens to them. Nothing.
Yeah.
So you keep it moving. You know, I'm not where I want to be, but am I happy where I am? Unequivocally.
When you speak with young people, and I know you referenced earlier, you speak with students, do you speak about how important it is about being happy where you are or having your sights on a goal? How do you approach them?
When I talk to young people, what I talk to them about, understanding that they're a brand, you know, I'm blessed to do a lot of universities and so forth, doing my speaking engagements when school starts in the fall. And, you know, one of the things I realize is that students, and I guess I'm talking from a standpoint of college students, they don't understand what kind of goal mind they have, what they are right now. And so my goal is always to transform and plant the seed in their mindset to wherever they are right now. If they're at a Division I school or whatever school they are, the opportunities that they have, that they need to put themselves in that mindset and realize that they're a brand for the university and utilize everything they can, absorb it, meet people, leverage their contacts. But my goal for students is, and anyone, is to understand that you are brand. You know, I always say you're McDonald's French fries. You know, wherever I go in the world, my French fries taste the same. If I'm in Paris, if I'm in Harlem, you know, but the only thing that changes is the condiments based upon where I am. So
right.
My goal is to always have people, students, think about themselves as like, how do I want to represent myself when I meet someone? What is the lasting impression I want to leave with them? And how can I engage them so for an opportunity for when I'm ready and prepared to be the person that I want to be? And that's always my goal, because I find if young people looked at themselves that way, as brand CEO self, that there'd be less hatred, there's always going to be competition, but there'll be less followers and more individuals. And I think, you know, passionate about my people as a black woman, I want, you know, having a 10-year-old and a 3-year-old, I always tell my son that you got to be, you know, brand me. It's about brand you. It's not about what somebody else is doing. So that's always my message about that. We are all walking brands. How will your brand be perceived?
Yeah, well, I think your Ray Allen story actually shows that you were ready, you knew what you wanted, and you went after it, and when an opportunity was available, you walked in and luckily got it.
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. This PR game is not for the faint of heart. People think it's glamorous, but, you know, it's like anything else. You're competing with other people, so you know, you always got to make sure that there's something that you bring that no one else is bringing at the time, and that's preparation. Most people are not prepared for the opportunity.
Okay. Also, I wanted to ask you, if you focus on any one industry or any one form of media or not, for example, is it only music? Is it only... Or are you also in other genres also?
Well, it's important to know that I'm not a publicist these days. You know, I'm more of a motivational coach, PR strategist. I coach 90% of the time speaking. So my focus is spreading the word on branding and public relations to everyone who has an ear, everyone who listens, but primarily my target audience at this point in my life, at 43, is women. Women rebranding, redefining, and renewing themselves post-childbirth, because the mommy market is real. It's huge. You know, we are influencers, and to allowing women to understand that. And when I say mom, you don't have to have a biological child, but all of us are mothers, you know, whether you're a teacher, whatever, we are mothering a generation. So for me, that is where my passion is. That is where I focus, but I still do entrepreneurs. I still do corporations, but the passion is really with mom. And because I've been doing it for such a long time, I can market the hell out of a nail. Like, it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter. From a widget to a midget, I got it going on.
You do? Okay. From a widget to a midget. You heard it here.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just the campaign is different, you know? That's all it's about.
Okay. Well, if somebody wants a part of your campaign and says, okay, I want to hear you speak, and I have a group who says I want you to really motivate them, how do they reach you? Is it through your website?
Sure. Just go to, TaylorMadeMediaPR.com or KarenTaylorBass.com, TheBrandNewMommy.com. You know, Google, you know, we have videos you can watch. We're on YouTube, on the PR Expert channel, the Brand New Mommy channel. So if you want to reach us, just reach us. It's really that simple. There's really no mystery to this game.
Okie doke. Are there final thoughts you want to share with us? Our time is almost out of time.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for having me, for the invitation. It's been a pleasure to talk to your audience and feel your energy on this Thursday. I just want to empower everyone out there that's listening that you're never too late to be the person that you always wanted to be, and everything is in baby steps ordained. But, you know, the one thing I always tell people, I think Nike said it so brilliantly, is just do it. Don't wait for someone else, and don't measure yourself based upon other folks, because you don't know what the heck that they are battling and dealing with. So, you know, I never covet someone else. I may admire them, but I don't covet. So I always tell people, do you, but just do it. And, you know, feel free to reach out to me. Look for thebrandnewmommy.com next Monday. You can follow me on blackenterprise.com. I have a weekly column on branding, public relations, marketing, reinvention, and womanhood. And, you know, that's it. I'm always grateful for opportunities to connect with people.
I have one more question, and one I'm sorry I didn't ask earlier. Were you on Oprah recently?
Oh, my God. That is in my destiny board and my vision board. That must have been your dream, girl. It must be happening sooner than I thought. No, I've not yet had the pleasure. I've met Oprah, you know, a couple times, Miss Oprah Winfrey, let me not be familiar, with my artists and clients. I've made that, you know, Harpo run several times, and I met her as a publicist, but as Karen Taylor Bass, PR expert and Brand New Mommy, I have not had the pleasure as of yet.
Well, visualize it.
Girl, visualize, please. That's been visualized. Now
okay.
It's time to make it a reality.
Exactly. So all of those steps you told us you've used in the past.
I know, right? I don't think I could stalk her, though. I don't think she goes for that too much. But it's working out. It's all being ordained.
Okie doke. You also had an article in Essence Magazine?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what other publications? I know you said Black Enterprise, Essence.
Black Enterprise, Essence, the Network Journal, the Entrepreneur Magazine, oh, my goodness, Ebony. I mean, it's a lot. My print is really great. I've been blessed to be in a lot of print publications, radio and so forth. You know, we're getting ready to conquer TV next.
How did you start writing?
As a publicist, you know, that's okay. One of the things I was trained to write press releases, to write pitch letters, to write speeches. And, you know, whatever you do in life, you always end up using it. I went to school I did, you know, writing courses and all that kind of stuff when in undergrad. And so, you know, one day someone asked me to write a story, and I was like, oh, I just write press releases, and I had to put myself in that. As I become more comfortable, it just started to spew out. Everyone listening has a story inside of them. And what I tell writers, because we're all writers, just don't edit yourself. Just go free. Write, write, write. And after you're done, then edit yourself. But let the words come, let the ideas form. And if you like it, someone else will like it.
Okie doke. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And again, everyone, we have Karen Taylor Bass, who is a PR guru and motivational speaker as well. Thank you so much, Karen. And everyone, if you want some more information about Karen, you can find her on her websites, which are
KarenTaylorBass.com, TaylorMadeMediaPR.com, TheBrandNewMommy.com, ThePublicRelationExpert.com. I also have a sale going on through Twitter where you can sign up for coaching. I think it ends on Friday. You can follow me on Twitter at PR Expert, PR Expert, and also Twitter.com, same thing, The Brand New Mom. So check me out on those social networking sites, Facebook and so forth, and let's be friends and follow each other and learn about what we're all doing so we can support. This whole life is about supporting each other, especially when it comes to Black-owned business, because if we don't do it, no one else will.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Karen.
Thanks a lot. Have a great night. Thanks for the opportunity, and peace. I'm out.
All right. This is Yvette Jordan, everyone, and thank you for listening to the Gist of Freedom Show. Have a good evening.